So we have a new face on the congressional corner, Republican Congressman John Faso of the 19th District. John, delighted to have you with us again today. You've been before these microphones many times, and we are very appreciative of your coming.
Well, thank you, Alan. It's always good to be able to speak to you and your listeners. I always get a lot of feedback every time I'm on this show.
That's great. John, you were sworn in for your first term. What's life like? You know, you're a hand. You've been around for a lot of years. You know the state legislature very well. But this is a little different.
Imagine the state legislature and multiply it by 50. That's what it is like in Congress. It is I know, obviously, most of the New York congressional delegation, Democrat and Republican. There are 27 of us, plus two senators. But imagine now having to get to know 400 or so other people in the House of Representatives, and not even to mention the Senate. But that is a big part of the job, just getting to assess people. I've been appointed to three committees, budget, transportation and infrastructure, and agriculture.
Well, budget is a hell of a committee to be on, isn't it?
It is. It's a really
plum.
It's a very interesting committee to be on at this particular moment in time, and it's going to be right in the mix of a lot of the issues that are going to get public attention this year, but also transportation and infrastructure. President-elect and many Democrats and Republicans are talking about trying to rebuild our nation's infrastructure, whether it be transportation infrastructure or water and sewer infrastructure. And so this committee will be an important component of that. And also, there are subcommittees on the Transportation Committee that will be of particular interest to the district. And there's a jurisdiction, for instance, the Coast Guard, which I'm very concerned vis-a-vis the Hudson River.
Sure.
And so there are a number of factors and issues that will come before the Transportation Committee that will really be important to the district. And agriculture. I mean, our Catskills and Mid-Hudson Valley, we have a thriving agricultural industry. We have a lot of dairy, a lot of farm-to-table agriculture, a lot of new young farmers starting grass-fed yogurt businesses and cheese businesses, and you name it, we've got it. And so there's important jurisdictional issues that will affect our district in agriculture, not to mention the fruit farmers that are concerned about immigration and being able to get workers. So a lot of issues. Chris Gibson, my predecessor, that was one of his strong recommendations, was to try to get on the Agriculture Committee. And it was also important for the state because we needed to have a New York Republican on that committee. So I'll be carrying water for a lot of the agricultural issues in our state. And so I'm happy to do that, and I'm looking forward to the committees being organized.
I wanted to ask you, you mentioned something, and I'm fascinated by it. You mentioned the Hudson River. We know about the Coast Guard, and we know that they want to park ships up and down the Hudson in several places. This has called out a lot of the environmental community and others who have been opposed to it. You got any inside take for us?
Well, I don't have any inside take. My impression is that the proponents of the anchorages have over-asked for more than they need. That's my impression.
On purpose, you think?
That's my impression. And I do think it's very important that we make sure that the Hudson is a commercially viable waterway. There's a lot of, I can remember when I was in the legislature years ago, dealing with when we had a very, very hard freeze in the Hudson River, having to get the Coast Guard to bring icebreakers up the river because they couldn't get heating oil and gasoline up the river. And that would have been a calamitous situation. Imagine if we couldn't service the homeowners and farms in this area with heating oil. So I'm very interested in this entire issue, and I'm looking forward to working on it.
Well, is there any basic premise that you have that since they asked for too much, that maybe you can talk them out of it?
No, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait and speak to the advocates for this, but also folks that are, I've talked to many people that are concerned about it. And I just want to find out what we really need and what is necessary. I think first and foremost, we have to accomplish twin goals here, protect the river and its environmental situation, but also make sure that commercial navigation is safe and secure, and that that's the best way also to to make sure that we avoid spills and other dangerous circumstances that could arise.
The other thing that you mentioned was immigration. And I know you've been getting a fair amount of mail on this, and people have been talking to you about it. But you said that the farmers need help and other people need to have the workers who are working with them.
Absolutely. This is a vitally important matter. If you're you have an orchard, you're a fruit farmer, you're raising vegetables, you need workers who can reliably come in to harvest the crop. And the main source of those workers is the Caribbean. And those agricultural workers come in year after year, and they perform great work, and they go home. And the farmers need to make sure that they have a ability to bring the workers in when they need them, and make sure the bureaucratic process is streamlined so that they can do that. I have heard from a number of farmers who tell me that it has become increasingly difficult and expensive to get the workers in. So that's something I'm going to be looking at.
Do you find any dissonance between you and your new president on this immigration issue?
Well, I would frame it in a different way. I think some of the rhetoric has been perhaps unnecessary and harsh. And so my perspective is that we have to make sure we have secure borders, that people who come into our country, and half of the people are in the country illegally, are here because they've overstayed visas. We have to have a better means of tracking the visa issuance and process so that people obey the law and don't overstay the visas. At the same time, we need to make sure that we are an open society to the extent we can. We're a nation that historically has welcomed immigrants, and we need to make sure that when people are coming here that they're not going to be dependent upon social services, but they are coming to work, to invest, to build businesses, and you see a lot of dynamism in the immigrant communities across our country. So, and of course, I mentioned the agricultural aspect of this question. So these are all very critical and not inconsistent points of view here. We need to make sure that we have a nation has to control its borders. It has to have a system where we can make sure we know who's coming into the country, who should be leaving the country when their time period expires, but also a nation which welcomes the vibrancy and the initiative of strivers. And immigrants are generally strivers. They're people that want to build communities, build families, build businesses, and that's something that has historically made America a great place.
Well, Donald Trump has made it clear that the sanctity of the borders is very important to him, but also there have been people who feel that he has said, no Muslims coming in.
I don't agree with that. I don't think we should have a religious test on immigration. I do think we need to make sure that when people are coming, particularly from places where there has been a lot of security issues and terrorism issues, we need to make sure those people are properly vetted. But we shouldn't create a stigma for a whole class of people based on religion. That would be, I think, un-American.
John Faso, I can't thank you enough for being with us today on the Congressional Corner, and we hope that you're going to be with us a great deal as time goes on here. When we come back the next time, I'm going to ask you about the future of the Affordable Care Act.